Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, this is the Delicious Legacy Podcast, and I'm Tom Dinas. Welcome to another episode of our archaeogastronomical adventures. This is sort of an extra episode, a last-minute bonus one, and it's because this Sunday coming, it's the Greek Orthodox Easter. Well, the whole Eastern Orthodox Easter, really. Everywhere in the Orthodox Church, they celebrate Greeks, Cypriots, Serbs, Russians, and so on. So it's all about, the episode today is all about the traditions of Easter, what foods are eaten, and when. I hope you're all keeping safe on these insane times. And of course, you and your families are all healthy and of course staying inside, which is a tough thing to do considering the period with the spring coming quickly upon us and the sun shining. So, from a sunny and warmish London, I salute you, and I wish you all to have good health. So, let's move on swiftly to our subject of the Greek Orthodox Easter food and traditions. For those of you that know me well, Easter is my favorite, let's say, celebration period. And it's not mainly for religious reasons, but mostly about the whole tradition of what you eat, how you eat it, and all the different elements that are in place over the past 40 days. But yeah, the culmination of everything that follows on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, with a whole spit roast of lamb and, of course, kokoretsi. It's by far my favorite thing to do. It's a barbecue and celebration of spring and of all good things and the resurrection of nature from the long, harsh winter. So, see it in a religious or not way, there is an element there of the cyclical nature, the way things die and they're coming back to life. And yeah, we're celebrating this the abundance of nature for the year to come. But regardless of this deeper and more meaningful ways that I like Easter, there's also the mundane, the plain, simple truth that I love the food of Easter. And especially the preparation of the whole feast for Easter Sunday. The whole thing is very, very interesting because it starts almost 50 days before the actual Easter Sunday, and where you have in the Eastern Orthodox Church, you have the Great Lent of 40 days, which is the most important fasting season in the church year. So these 40 days of the Great Lent include Sundays, and they begin on the what is called the Clean Monday, which is kind of the equivalent of Ash Wednesday in UK, for example. So Clean Monday is the Monday that the feast starts. So the day before the feast starts on Sunday, we eat the last of the meat and the dairy products and the eggs. So the tradition is to eat eggs on that Sunday before Clean Monday, which follows. So yeah, Clean Monday follows a period of distinct and strict diet. So when these 40 days finish, then we go straight away to the Holy Week. And the Holy Week, which is called the Great Week in Greek, it's another Lent. You have another 5-6 days of Lent. And of course, the Great Lent is broken only on Easter Sunday. In fact, it's broken at the midnight with the church, when you go to the church and you eat the eggs. So as we see, the whole thing, the whole Great Lent starts with eating an egg and finishes with an egg, basically. So the whole Lent is very interesting here in Eastern Orthodox Church. Basically, in rough terms, we abstain from all meat and dairy products, as well as eggs. So for 40 days, there's nothing of that in our diet. Or so it should be, let's say. Not all of us keep the strict Lent calendar. So what happens? No meat, no dairy, no eggs. And then Wednesday and Fridays, no olive oil as well. Or what they call is dry eating. So some people, they just eat bread and water for those days. Fridays and Wednesdays and Fridays. Before the Holy Week, we have the Palm Sunday, which differs from all the other Sundays on the feast. So on Palm Sunday, you can eat, or you're permitted to eat fish and have wine and oil on your table. Many moons ago, when my grandmother was still alive, it must have at least 12 years, I decided to record her for posterity and keep her story as a little thing to have to remember her, and also to share with the rest of the family and the relatives. I knew obviously she won't live forever, and she was quite old at that point. So my idea was to record a little bit of her life, or basically her early life, about my great grandfather and the family and all the great uncles and so on, and their story. So I recorded a bit of her telling me about what they ate for Lent when she was young. She was from a very religious family. My great-grandfather was a priest. And so they were very observant of all the Lentil periods. And they were fasting properly. For Easter, back then, she told me that obviously they weren't eating any oil. The only oil they had was olive oil anyway, but they weren't allowed to eat any oil. Only on Saturdays and Sundays, if they were making some bean stew or something like that, or a bean soup. Generally, back then, we're talking about Greece in the late 20s, 1920s, so about 100 years ago, North Greece. There was no vegetables that we find really easily nowadays on that time of the year. So there was no peppers or tomatoes. There was only pickles. They had pickles. So perhaps if they were hungry and they had to eat something, there was going to be some pickles, some olives and bread. As we said earlier, Lent was very strict and they wouldn't eat any meat or dairy products or eggs. And sometimes they would fry the pickles as well, just for something a bit more interesting with taste. Other stuff they had was endives and cabbages and wild poppies. If the weather was good, they would go to the fields and the forests and gather some wild poppies. And then generally there would be a lot of pulses that they were eating, like broad beans and beans and peas and lentils and something. I think it was similar or the same thing with a yellow split peas. So they had something similar to the peas pudding that it's very traditional northern English food. And they were only allowed to eat fish in two occasions, two Sundays, out of the 40-something days of Lent. So you would eat fish, as we said earlier, only on the Palm Sunday, but also you were allowed to eat fish on the Feast of Annunciation. So that was on the 25th of March. So those two occasions that you were allowed to eat fish. And that was from my grandmother's story. And basically the idea is that Palm Sunday recreates the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And yeah, basically you are permitted to have a bit of a celebration. The reason that we fast for 40 days before Easter must came a lot later than the first Christians. Probably the run up to Easter was when people started holding baptisms at Easter. So the period before that, there was a preparation. So I guess people started fasting in preparation to get baptized. And generally that started including more and more of the whole population. And the church, I think, incorporated the whole 40 days of Jesus being in the desert fasting into the concept. So what do we have here? 40 days of fasting. Stops on Palm Sunday with fish. Then we have the Great Week. On the Holy Week. Then we have the Holy Week. On the Holy Week, the fast rules apply too. Generally, even more strict in terms you don't eat any olive oil or you don't drink any wine, and you have only... Some people will only have bread and water and maybe some olives. Yeah, Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, Holy Wednesday, they go like this. On Thursday, in Greek households paint the eggs. So the tradition is you paint red eggs, and these are the ones that you will eat at midnight from Saturday to Sunday in the church. So you boil the eggs, you paint the eggs, and you keep them for Saturday night. The other thing that the households make is a sweet bread with milk and eggs, with milk, flour, eggs, sugar, and so on, called tsureki, which is another Eastern Orthodox tradition. And yeah, it's made in Cyprus, in Armenia, and even in Turkey. So the word tsureki itself is probably of a Turkish origin. There are some people that consider the word to be even Armenian or Persian in its origin, in its roots. Tsureki is a really special type of bread, of brioche bread. It's not your normal kind of brioche. What's so special about it? They include spices like mahlep and mastic resin and some orange zest. And of course, yeah, it gives this luscious, unique flavor. What is mahlep and mastic then? I hear you asking. Well, let's start with the mahlep, the more unusual of the two ones. It's an aromatic spice which is made from the seeds of a species of cherry. So basically, the cherry stones are cracked, and then the seeds are extracted, and then they're kind of they become a powder. The flavor of these seeds, or of this powder, the mahlep powder, is kind of sweet, and it has almost an essence of marzipan in itself. And then we have mastic resin, which is more familiar to you who are a bit more into the Greek cuisine in general. Mastic resin is used to flavor a lot of stuff, and it's from the mastic tree, which grows in the island of Chios. In a sense, it's basically a flavoring agent that's used in a lot of different things, from liquors to sweets and cakes and so on. And basically, it's the resin is extracted and used as a flavoring for the special Easter cake, which is tzoureki. And these two very unique spices give the tzoureki its extremely luscious and special flavor. It's like a brioche type of bread, which is eaten again on Easter Sunday. These things are made. Good Friday comes. It's the absolute time of mourning, and people are barely eating. Even some people, they will drink a bit of vinegar, just as the soldier gave to Jesus. And then on Saturday, which is the preparation for the Easter Sunday feast and the whole partying, people will traditionally prepare the spit roast. They will clean it, season it, and put it on the spit ready for Sunday. Households, they also make a soup that's going to be consumed after the church service at midnight, and which will soothe and nourish the body after the long Lent. And the idea is that it eases your stomach into the big feast the next day. So you go to the church, you eat the red egg, the boiled red egg that you had, that gives you something. The church service finishes around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. You go home, you eat that nice nourishing soup, which is called magiritsa, and it lines up your stomach for the next day, of course. And the idea behind magiritsa is you make something out of the remaining parts of the animal that you're going to spit roast the next day. So magiritsa generally has a bit of the unused parts of that animal. Could be a bit of liver, a bit of heart, intestines, and so on. Finely chopped in a nice lemon and egg sauce with lots of dill and rice. And then, of course, everything finishes with the greatest celebration, at least to my eyes, on Easter Sunday, with lamb and kokoretsi. Traditionally, people do one or two lambs and the kokoretsi. But for the ones of you that they know me, my family's A, quite big, and B, quite greedy. So we would have normally maybe 3 lambs and about 12 kokoretsi. Kokoretsi is a sort of kebab made with entrails of the animal. So it uses heart, liver, lungs, sweetbreads, spleen, and so on, all wrapped in cold fat and then wrapped again with the intestines. And the whole thing is slowly cooked over charcoal until it's nice and melty and inside and crispy outside. It's a divine dish. It's not a word that I would use normally for many things, but kokoretsi is one of those things that it might sound a little bit off-putting, but the actual taste is nothing like you ever tasted before. Of course, it complements well the roast lamb. So you have lamb, you have the kokoretsi, and you have all the meat that you need. And of course, there is zero waste. All the animal is used from the head to the toe and anything else. So yeah, my family, let's say, we will start early in the day. We'll go and start, we'll go and light the fire around 8 in the morning. So by, let's say, 8:30, 9 o'clock the latest, we'll have the lambs on the spit, on the fire, cooking. And that will take a low and slow procedure. We'll take most of the day, for sure the whole morning, and perhaps until 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At the same time, we'll put some of the kokoretsi on the barbecue. And remember, we're talking about kokoretsi is like a kebab, a massive kebab, 1 meter in 1 meter length speed. So we have usually 12 of them, and we start, but we don't have as many barbecues for Cocoretti. So we'll start around 9 o'clock with 2 to 4 Cocorettis getting on. And then by 11 o'clock, the first ones will be out. And of course, you will have people coming, passing by, saying Happy Easter and so on, and wishing all the usual Easter wishes. So yeah, people will be passing by. They will have a mezze, a bit of Cocoretti, a glass of Tsipouro, a shot of Tsipouro, or a glass of wine, and they'll be on their way. So the first four of the Cocorettis, they go like this, with people celebrating Easter from around the neighborhood, or friends passing by with their cars, driving to their families and so on. So the rest of them will go into the spit, and then they will all get cooking. And of course, by the time they're ready, around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then the lambs are ready too. And then is the time when the whole family, and we're talking about the big family here, we're talking about the extended family. So you have uncles and aunties and cousins and grandmothers and children and nieces and so on. All together, we'll eat, of course, some of the lamb and some of the Cocoretti, and then what's left. Because, let's be honest, it's a lot of meat. Something's going to be left for at least another 1 or 2 days. It's been shared with everybody in the families, and everybody gets their own bit and goes home in the afternoon, satisfied, quite drunk and quite stuffed, if it's my case always, at least, as we start at 8 in the morning eating and drinking. Yeah, by the time it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's been a hard day's work, believe me. So yeah, what is Cocoretti? I've touched quite briefly what Cocoretti is. How does one make one? This is the $1 million question. Normally, when we order from our butcher the lamb, we'll order the plaque as well. So the plaque is all the insides together. Heart, liver, lungs, cold fat, sweetbreads, spleen and so on. And the intestines, of course, which they're sold, which you can find them much easier in Greece. I don't know about UK, but I'm pretty sure you can. Well, you can find them because I found them. So I think everyone can. So how does one make Cocoretti then? As we said, it's a massive kebab. The size of the souvla is 1 meter. Souvla, by souvla, we mean a skewer. So it's 1 meter metal skewer, which from that you make about 70 to 75 centimeters of actual kebab, the actual kebab. So for that, you'll need about 2 kilos of the plaque, raw and all together, and about 2.5 kilos of intestines, about 600 grams of sweetbreads, and two small cold fat, lamb cold fat. And of course, we need seasoning, a lot of salt, a lot of black pepper, and of course, some traces of cumin, mustard, turmeric, and so on, whatever different herbs and spices tickle your fancy. But yeah, you need only traces of all these elements. That you don't need too much. The main thing is salt and pepper. So yeah, you can put a bit of mint and dried basil, and definitely a lot of oregano, very finely, almost powdery oregano. So all this seasoning, you mix it very well, and then from that you put 4 teaspoons. So if you put 4 teaspoons of that mix onto the fine on the chopped liver, lung, heart, and the rest you use it. Another 1.5 on the 1.5 teaspoon on the sweetbreads, and then you're using quite a few of the rest, but not the whole mixture certainly, on the intestines while you wrapping them around the meat. That should be around another 1.5 teaspoons of salt of seasoning. So the idea is that we cut the liver, the lung, the heart, and the sweetbreads in pieces of equal size, and then we pass them through the into the spit. And into the spit you pass them, starting with a piece of heart, a sweetbread, a lung, sweetbread, liver, sweetbread, lung, and so on. And if you have a lot of pieces of heart, for example, you can put a heart instead of liver, and continue like this until you reach the end where you finish, where you're closing the kebab with a piece of heart. So we start with heart and we finish with heart. And of course, to roast it, to barbecue it, you need about 5 kilos of good charcoal, which you light, and then you wait until they get a nice white color on the top, and then you put the cockroach spit, and you have it either in an automated mechanism that turns around on its own, or you have to turn it slowly but steadily yourself for about 2.5 hours. That, and you will know that it's ready, because you will see the kebab to start foaming a little bit, like it has a bit of soapiness. So that foamy, it means that that piece is ready, it's cooked. And this is it. These are the traditional celebrations for a Greek Orthodox Easter. Only the thought of it makes me really sad that I'm missing it this year. And it's even worse due to the fact that we cannot celebrate even in our own home gardens with our friends, let alone traveling to Greece to see the family. But yeah, we cannot even do something similar here in our gardens. But let's keep our health and hopefully next year. Okay, that's it for me. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the little interlude episode about the Greek Easter. And you learned something. And yeah, for any tips and tricks about cooking the whole lamb spit roast, well, that's going to be next Easter then. I will post some photos for you to see of the lamb and the cockroach on my Patreon and Twitter and so on. And of course, if you follow me on Patreon, I'll put the detailed recipe for cockroach, following all the different stages and procedures on how to make it, alongside with photos of it. I've been Thomas Dinas, and this is the Delicious Legacy Podcast. Hope you have a lovely weekend. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.